Let's.
Ways and Means. Ways and Means.
Where are we?
Ways and Means.
March 21st.
Somewhere on Palm Boulevard.
Or you live in paradise.
I'm assuming Jimmy will be back momentarily. We might as well get started anyhow. He's a quick study. He'll catch up. So let me call the Ways and Means Committee meeting to order here at 5 o'clock or 5:01. Press and public are duly notified. Thank you all for being here. Let's go on to approval of previous meeting minutes. You have the special meeting of February 21st and the regular meeting of February 28th in your package. I have a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Any additions, deletions, corrections? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion carries. Citizens' comments. We have some visitors, guests. I shouldn't call them visitors. They're guests. Here from Charleston County, going to talk to us about stormwater. Frank Pandulo, are you going to lead us off, Frank?
Yes,
all right. You remember Frank from a few months ago?
Yes,
he was here.
Go.
Just go to the microphone and.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Mayor, ladies and gentlemen of council, Madam Administrator, my name is Frank Pandulo. I am the Deputy County Administrator, and I am the Stormwater Utility Manager. I'm accompanied here this evening by Chris Wanamaker, who is our Stormwater Program Manager, and Stuart Rowe, who is our coordinator. And we're here this evening to respond to any questions you may have based upon a presentation we would like to make as it relates to the calculation of the stormwater utility fee to your non-residential customers. We have a handout that we will distribute later, but I would like to just summarize where we are going with our presentation. There are three parameters that I think is important to understand as it relates to the Constitution and the basis for billing. One is the base rate, and the city has adopted a base rate of $48 per equivalent residential unit. And we use the acronym ERU, equivalent residential unit, that's $48. We also have a statistic that we impute for residential properties based upon a statistical analysis that was completed of 3,000 square feet of impervious surface. A single family residential is imputed to have 3,000 square feet of impervious surface. The third parameter is the impervious surface that attends to each of the non-commercial users. And that becomes an important parameter. We've done investigations and we have concluded on each of the non-residential properties as to what the impervious surface is. And so if we were to make the calculation, just to keep it simple, if a residential or non-residential property has 30,000 square feet of impervious surface.
30,000.
That is an example. We would then divide that 30,000 square feet by the residential square footage of impervious surface of 3,000, and I believe the figure would come up with a number of 10. Those are the equivalent residential units that attend to that non-residential property. That 10 would then be multiplied by your base rate of $48 to arrive at the billing rate under the current billing protocol. So once again, the three parameters that become significant in the calculation are, number one, the base rate, which the city has adopted at $48 per equivalent residential unit. The second parameter is what is assigned to a single family residence of 3,000 square feet of impervious surface. That becomes the denominator in the calculation. And then we examine each of the non-residential properties to ascertain what their impervious surface is, divide that by the 3,000 square feet to come up with the number of equivalent residential units. That then figure is multiplied by your $48. That is the calculation. Yes, ma'am.
Let me ask you a question. When you say residential unit, do you meaning single-family residential?
Yes.
Okay, so that's a big difference on the island here. We have a lot of residential units that are condos or et cetera. You're not dealing with the condo. You're dealing with just a single-family residential structure.
Yeah, the calculation is, Stuart, is the multiple-family considered non-residential?
Now, with a condo unit, we will treat that as a single-family residence. If that property has a commercial footprint, we would then take it as the commercial footprint.
What constitutes commercial footprint?
Yeah, anything that is not single-family residence.
Well, if you take a take sea cabins down here, I will just pick on them. Mm-hmm. You know, they're single-family individual units. Mm-hmm. They have their own tax map number for each unit,
right.
And they have a parking lot. Mm-hmm. Boom.
And they're all connected.
Mm-hmm. They're all considered single-family ER, so there's no additional non-commercial billing for that site.
No.
Okay.
According to the mayor's question,
okay,
are you just doing that as an average to accommodate those condos in a common spot to give you that 30,000 average?
Or 3,000 square feet,
right.
You know, that we, as the statistics have shown, that's the average single family residence. Now, there will be those differences where there is just a smaller slice of a single family residence. So, there are some that are smaller.
I don't know what a smaller slice would
be. He's saying it's an average. You have smaller residential units.
Okay,
you have
bigger.
Yeah. Much bigger.
Right. But you have condos that have 360 units in one building,
mm-hmm,
that are on a shared common parking lot, mm-hmm, that don't have that much.
Would each unit get $48?
Yes.
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 So we have 4,000. Douglas probably knows. 4,300
single family
resident. You say 4,800?
Well, somewhere around there.
We probably have lots, but I'm thinking of actual.
Actual, okay.
Well, does that sound about right? 4,300?
Sounds right.
Yeah, I mean, plus or minus.
Yeah.
And all of those would be and probably, I'm picking a number here, maybe 1,500, 1,700 of them are condo type units, but they're all. They'd all be billed at $48.
If they have their own individual TMS number.
They all have their own TMS number. That's correct. Okay, thanks, sir.
Satisfactory,
mm-hmm,
Mayor? Council member? Satisfactory. Mm-hmm. With that information in hand, what we understand the city is contemplating is the imposition or the exercise of a cap,
mm-hmm,
as it has been explained to us, a cap of 33%. What we understand is to take the buildings from last year, 2015, and to build those properties no more than 1.33, which is a 33% increase over the previous year.
This is for non-commercial buildings?
Non-commercial.
Non-residential.
Yeah.
Non-residential.
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 Commercial, okay. Like the shopping center.
Okay. Commercial, okay.
Now, the corollary of that is in essence a discount that you are offering to your non-residential properties, a discount. That is a noble ambition, but it has some consequences to it. The city is bound to participate in accordance with the county's ordinance to the full extent of the revenues that would be projected for the full exercise of the billings of your non-residential properties. Therefore, any reduction or any discount needs to be made up from your fund balance. Now, the fund balance is a treasured and a revered amount of money that is used by the city for stormwater-related projects. And I will use as an example the public works facility, mm-hmm, that you're contemplating, and the truck wash. The truck wash qualifies as a stormwater related undertaking, and we are able to release monies from your fund balance to take care of those things. And there are probably other similar projects. So the consequence is important to ascertain and to realize that any deficit or any reduction or discount, if you will, would have to be made up by reaching into your fund balance. Are there any questions on what I've indicated so far?
Oh, probably a few hundred. So the math, we went from $36 to $48.
Yes.
That's a 33% increase.
Yes.
And intellectually we're saying, okay, non-residential properties can go up 33% also. But you're saying that's a discount.
Yes.
I like your mathematics.
I mean, maybe you should have been working for Macy's or somebody. I don't know how I got the discount yet.
But the original increase was supposed to be from 36 to 72.
That's what the county
That's what
did.
The county did. The county
so
went that.
So we chose not to go to 72. We chose to go to 48.
Correct.
Okay.
We went up. But
so
you have to realize.
Discounting everybody.
No, you have to realize, and this is from my memory, and these guys lived it, so we only tangentially lived it. It went from 48 to 72 because county council said, hey, we need more money. We can do the stormwater management fee as it's constituted now, and maybe for the next series of years at $48. But wouldn't it be great if we had more funds available to do funding projects?
Okay.
And that's how...
So they don't need 72.
Right.
That's how they went from 48 to 72. We decided, let's stay at 48. We can execute, or these guys can execute the stormwater management obligation for us at $48, and we'll have a residual fund balance left over. This is the first time I've heard that, well, now that we're dealing with non-residential stuff, we're suddenly dipping into a fund balance. So the math is mystifying.
Let me redeem myself in explaining a discount. That's a term of art there.
Okay.
And the reason it folds in that fashion, and I'll try to use some, just round numbers. If the billing in 2015 to a property, to a non-residential property, was $100, mm-hmm. And by virtue of the calculations we now are employing, and that is the use of impervious surface for that particular property, and I'm going to hypothecate here. If by virtue of that calculation that I described, utilizing those three parameters, the property would have to pay $400. By the exercise of your cap, that property would pay only $133. And the difference between $133 and the $400 is what I call a discount.
Discount.
Have I redeemed myself?
Well, you've made the math work, but so you've changed the method in which you're applying the fee to non-residential properties.
Yes.
It's no longer just a fee per ERU. You're doing these pervious surface calculations.
Yes.
Which wasn't there before.
That
is that correct?
Yes.
And where did that come from? Just someone's art, or?
Well, the calculation that was done before, it gets into some esoteric mathematics. And I don't know if I want to get into that. Here.
Okay, so, all right.
But suffice it to say, we believe that we went to a more simple methodology, and that is by taking the impervious surface, which is the surface that rejects the stormwater,
correct.
Which is what we need to deal with. And taking that impervious surface of a non-residential property and allocating that or equating that to the number of equivalent residential units by dividing by that 3,000 square feet, we come up with the number of equivalent residential units times that $48. That became what we believe to be a more simple calculation. In some instances, it gave rise to a rather dramatic increase from the previous year. Once we realized that, and we were questioned by that, we then put a pause mm-hmm. on sending those bills out, and we conducted a due diligence by going and sending our field crews out to take a look at truly what we believed had been, from our view of the maps, as to what the impervious surface was. In some instances, we found that a gravel area was viewed as an impervious surface. Well, the gravel tends to allow water to infiltrate through it. We discounted that. So we made some corrections to our initial calculations, and after that due diligence, we've concluded on what we believe to be reasonable calculations for the impervious surfaces. And that is where we are with that now. So again, a 33% cap constitutes, in essence, what I've just described, I hope, a discount. And the difference between that $133 on the sample that I was using and the $400 becomes a difference that has to be made up from somewhere. And we are submitting to you that that would have to be made up from allocating portions of your fund balance.
Well, we don't like dipping into fund balance. Now, I guess one of you, maybe all of you, sent us a chart or a column or chart that showed how many properties were going up by how much. And if I remember right, Linda here, she's probably got one. 15 properties are going up by.
I think we have those figures. Thank goodness I'm assisted by my colleagues here this evening who have those figures.
Would you like to hear?
Yes, they've seen them.
Electronically.
Mm-hmm.
While you're passing that mask.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Frank, you don't mind me asking a quick question?
Not at all, sir.
On our policy, we have a 40% lot coverage, and some people get credit if they have, as you said,
bunch of stuff.
Pavers or
driveways,
right,
that allow water to go through and stuff. Could somebody
bunch of stuff is a cord.
Appeal and say, wait a minute, what you calculated is not my house. You know, I've got all this paver skate that allows 100% water.
But the resident, you have to realize, the residential properties are not part of this calculation. This is only commercial. This is commercial property. So any commercial property that has pervious material that they may not have properly reflected, you know, I assume they could. Anybody could appeal it.
But that is subject to appeal.
Okay, thank
we
you.
Entertain, the first thing we entertain is a meeting with the objector, try to explain how we've come about of the calculations, and if there is some still concern, then they are invited to make a formal appeal.
Thank you.
So this chart, someone explain it.
Okay.
Chris, you have the floor.
Yeah, can y'all swap?
Sure.
Because that
yes,
goes
ma'am.
Into the reporter.
Yes, ma'am. So, okay, thank you. The distribution of 2016 uncapped bills. We'll start with that one. I just wanted to try and show, you know, what are we talking about here? It's 129 parcels altogether, non-residential, and between $24 and $4.99, you'd have 101 of those 129. That
these
would
be are all commercial.
All non-residential. Yes, ma'am. And then the breakdown from there, so between 500 and 1,000 is 13. I know it looks bad, but the 974 was just the last bill before it hit 1,000, so sorry. I couldn't make Excel.
We can figure it out.
So the second one, the percent increase, shows the 0 to 100%, that there's 71 of those parcels that have a percent increase between a 0 and 100%, 37 between 100 and 200, and then 17 is greater than 300%. Keep in mind that 37 of the 129 accounts had been billed as vacant or undeveloped or less than one ERU, essentially, in the previous calculation. Basically, they had a $36 or $18 bill. 37 of the 129, that's what 37 of those are in this whole mix, and most of those, and all but five of those, are in that greater than 300%.
How many of these are city properties?
Eight. And you know the way that works. I mean, the city basically pays back itself. It mm-hmm. just. Yeah.
Well, let me step back to what you just said. In the chart here, which shows 17 properties going up by more than 300%,
yes,
you said most of those were just vacant lots.
all but five of those.
37, is that what you said?
37 parcels altogether throughout all of this.
No, but I'm looking just at the 17 on the at 300. Of the 17,
12 of those have been had a $36 or $18 bill throughout the last 9 or 10 years.
So 300% of.
Right. And it probably was still only, you know, a $250 bill. It just from 36 to 360 is.
Okay, so how do we rationalize? That's it. Wait a minute. Let me ask the question first. How do we rationalize taking a vacant lot, you know, and charging them more than $48, which is what we're charging for an ERU?
If I might address that particular issue in itself, one of the things in the original base when the fees were established, it was based on that general use and that classification. So the data was looked at upon what the classification of the property was. Up until this point in time, because we were working under an interim fee, temporary, there was never a full audit of all parcels. And so what this has done is actually done a full audit of every single parcel since this new method of the ERU of the 3,000 square feet. So to rationalize or to justify or to explain why did that occur, there were parcels or accounts in the data that had wrong or maybe incorrect, for one, possible. Or the second part, developments occurred on some of these that I cannot say specifically, that a development occurred, but no change in the fee occurred. In other words, okay, if it was vacant and I would look to the data, look to the classification, and I run it through 10 different tests. Did the property sell? Did it change hands? Was there a prior appeal on it? So there was various tests that I would look at the data based on that general use, and it would just carry forward each and every year. Until this year, a complete audit was done on all the non-residential, quote-unquote, commercial properties.
Yeah, but you can have a non-residential vacant lot. It's
yes,
destined to, and that's not $48 anymore.
It is.
It is 48.
A vacant would be 24.
I'm sorry.
Would be half.
Half.
Okay, but in the 17, I thought you said there were 12 of them were
previously.
And
that's why I'm trying to address
potential.
So you're just correcting. It might have been vacant 10 years ago, but now there's something on it.
Right. That's a possibility. Or it was just misclassified. And we never looked at an aerial photo of those properties. So verification, verification was not done on every single non-residential account of 1,600, overall.
It's got to be driving you crazy doing this for the entire county, looking at everything.
It was. In the first, if I might address that, because we did employ a third, an independent engineering firm to do the first test, okay, and so they were. What's the word?
They were given a task.
They were given the task, and we found that there were some that were overdone, or they were just capturing every single thing because they were looking at the aerial photo. And as Frank alluded to earlier, until the field visit was made, they found that some of those impervious areas, was gravel, and there's where the engineers decide, wait a minute, that's not impervious.
Right.
Did I answer it?
Yeah. Well.
I expect more questions.
This is just me. I'm just trying to understand. I'm still trying to figure out how you got five properties going up by more than $1,900. That's got to be a huge facility we have here somewhere.
There are.
Harris Teeter.
Yeah.
That would be the whole. Well, that'd be the shopping center, not just Harris Teeter.
Yeah,
it would be a beach company. Would be.
And a lot of this includes the other half of the Wild Dunes portion too. It includes all the parcels, even though I know they seem like maybe their own.
So do you hit the golf course with?
Golf court paths.
Totally pervious.
Tennis courts.
They're pervious.
Right.
Hartshoe.
The green surface, the chip and seal?
Oh, yeah.
Hartshoe.
The tennis courts are pervious.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's why we have a written notice of objection.
And if I might, oh, go ahead.
We've had several discussions with Wild Dunes.
Okay.
They,
I mean, I know tennis courts, it's pervious.
Okay.
It's just a $1,900 increase, just.
That's what the total bill is. That's not necessarily the increase.
Oh.
That's what the bill will be.
Oh, so I don't know what it was before.
Right.
Oh, okay, so I feel better. As long as it wasn't 36.
Right.
You can tell he's a tennis player.
What's funny is the tennis courts were $36 before. They've only ever been.
Now, we have an exhibit that we would like to hand out.
Okay.
It summarizes pretty much what I've just presented.
The example.
Thank you so much, Chris. Thank you, Stuart.
Yep.
And so thank you.
Is this the where you're going to tell us how much, what the total billing will be and what the.
Okay.
Where's your body?
Yeah.
Watch your staff there.
Yes, and yes. I guess I'm not supposed to speak about it.
Thank you.
Yes. So basically, without a cap, it would be $37,142. That would be the projected revenues from non-residential.
Okay.
So with a cap, with a single one-time 33% cap, the revenues that year would be projected at $19,985.
And so the deficit would be made up from your fund balance.
Yeah.
Unless we have no fund balance,
well,
and then it's a negative number that we owe you guys.
But each,
but, correct?
Each year you get so much dollars, it just wouldn't be as much dollars going into it.
Yeah.
It's not. Each year you have a surplus.
Yeah.
So
well, we have had.
We have had. You wouldn't want to discount to the point where you had negative.
Right.
Sure.
And just to remind everybody, we will be using the bulk of what is in our fund balance towards our project over at the Public Works Department. So it's not like we're sitting with, you know, several hundred thousand that's not already obligated in this fund.
Real quick, would you like a synopsis of how the bills, do we need to go there?
I just wanted to bring up to date as to where are the bills at right now. The bills are being printed currently this week with, and I do want to say this, that the insert with the bill will be this example that they will receive, and in addition, on the back side will be, I didn't print it for you, but a written notice of objection. So we are, and the bill itself has two paragraphs explaining all that we have done, and I will send an email copy of that, Ms. Tucker. I apologize for not bringing one. But it has two paragraphs explaining what Charleston County has done and what has brought us to this point. I just wanted to make aware that we are in the process of printing the bills with the insert to include the example as well as on the backside opportunity or, you know, their option to submit a written notice of objection. And through that process, just to explain that, once we receive a written notice of objection, a clock starts where we have to respond within 30 days. A review of the account will be made in which the engineer will make an analysis and in most cases do another field visit to that particular account to see if we have made or any errors have been made. So that's the first option that an applicant has. If they don't agree, then we have to respond within 30 days, and if they don't accept that decision, they then have opportunities to go again as a written formal appeal to the Board of Appeals, and then in that process, there will be a group that would have another opportunity to decide.
Fundamental question.
Yes.
You're printing bills. But
yeah.
At what rate?
Not y'all.
Oh, not ours.
No. Everybody else.
Right. I was going to say.
No, we're waiting.
That's what I was.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Mary, you're giving me an accounting nightmare right now.
Excuse me. I can imagine that. Who else in the county is deliberating on this?
No one.
So the county is not going to cap their own?
No. It is at $72. No, we have gone forward. Those funds, and they are using their additional funds, they have started to hire 10 crew members, you know, to do additional work as far as maintenance. And in addition to that, you know, opportunities that if you need some additional assistance,
like building a beach walk over.
That's how the county.
That's only the unincorporated.
The unincorporated, yeah.
Choke County funds that get used for that 10 crews. Please do not.
And in addition, the equipment that has been purchased, not charged to, okay? I don't even know the name of it, but it's a $450,000 piece of equipment, you know.
Backtrack.
You know, so additional equipment is being purchased, you know, to increase and better maintenance now.
It's not related to us, so I probably shouldn't. My next question isn't related to us, so I probably shouldn't ask it. What about all the donut holes in Mount Pleasant?
Oh.
I mean, those fall under the county unincorporated.
Yeah.
Are you measuring all of their pervious
yes.
surface? Oh,
my heart
yeah.
goes out to the donut hole. There's got to be something more.
Okay, we don't have any.
Yeah.
Move on.
So
not our donut.
No. Does everyone
please.
Understand the donut holes?
Yes, everybody
yeah,
does.
Yeah, we know donut
holes. Okay, so I need to ask a question. I'm not sure which one of you would be addressing it. But so the county has made a conscious decision at $72 that they are not capping the commercial. So any commercial interest that is on the Isle of Palms that is also in the unincorporated area of the county, they're going to see a big increase in the unincorporated area of the county.
That's very likely.
So it
yes,
would
ma'am.
Be expected that they might would think that they would see the same type of increase in their commercial interest that they own on Isle of Palms.
Yes, ma'am.
Even though ours is at 48 and y'all's is at 72.
Right.
So it'd be less because ours is at 48 if we don't cap.
Right. And we may run into those comparisons that one would say, well, now wait a second, you know, I'm being billed. Unincorporated X right alongside of me, which is in the city jurisdiction, is being billed Y. We need to address those, and certainly those are reasonable questions, those are reasonable disparities, and we hope that we have that opportunity where we receive those objections mm-hmm. to afford an explanation.
Okay, is your calculation for non-residential similar to what, for instance, Mount Pleasant is executing?
Yes.
You had here. That one.
If you want to see a calculation, excuse me, I didn't mean to jump on that one. We made our simplified, or not we. This is a national calculation, the impervious area. In fact, the 3,000 square feet is very extremely conservative. You know, it's over, actually, you know, it goes higher. But to answer your question, theirs is so convoluted, I have the hardest time dissecting, you know, where a commercial account falls, because they have these different categories of, like, five structures, I think, if someone has seen it. I thought the previous calculation was difficult, because I needed engineers, you know, to explain, you know, this, you know, factor.
Okay, so I'm not going to go there. I'm not going
to
study.
To answer the impervious area, though, if I may just explain, the city of North Charleston's theirs is at 2,700 square feet. The city of Charleston is at 2,100 square feet.
If you reduce,
and Mount Pleasant does have it for
If you reduce,
if you reduce
the denominator, you're going to come up with
a higher multiple. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Exactly.
So what Stuart has said is precisely correct. We are more conservative by using 3,000 square feet.
Okay.
He's running one out, man.
Yeah. First of all, thank you. That was very enlightening to me, I'm assuming.
Was it?
I'm smarter now than when I started. Whether I'm at the right point or not is another matter.
So later on the agenda, I'm sure you have more, but later on the agenda you have discussion of stormwater management utility fee cap for non-residential, and it would seem to me like it would be good to have that discussion with these folks present.
Sure.
So at some point in time you may want to alter the agenda to, you know.
What's wrong with now?
Now, yeah.
Okay.
All in favor of altering the agenda? Take it up now. All right.
We're being nice to y'all.
We're prepared to stay all night.
No, you don't. No, 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 no.
You're going to charge that time again.
You can't.
No, 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 no.
All right. Before you, you have under old business discussion of stormwater management utility fee cap for non-residential parcels. I'm going to ask the administrator to talk to us about, we have three options. Three options in front of us?
Well, I think only one that would likely be acceptable to the county, because we've had some clarification since I sent the material to you all last night. And I do want to say that these guys, along with Sterling, have been working, trying to work through this to come up with these options about whether or not to employ the cap. And I will say that in my studying this issue, I've come full circle. I started out when the county first said, hey, you're going to have some bills that are going to go up significantly, and there would be the opportunity, if you all wanted to do it, to employ some sort of cap to lessen the blow. I came down on the place of, well, that seems reasonable, and if we can do that for our property owners, you know, we should probably study that and go forward. And I think that we kind of brought that position to you all, which garnered the vote mm-hmm. to say that you wanted to cap and assign Sterling the desire to do the ordinance. But now that I have learned more about this and the fact that taking an action to cap on these commercial properties, where really only a few of them, and some of them are city properties, will actually feel this increase, and they are the commercial properties, they are the very properties that we would not want to generate a lot of stormwater runoff that was not good for our environment. I've come, and the whole idea of eating into fund balance or operating at a deficit with the county, when that statement was made, that was completely new. You know, I'm completely around to that. I'm not sure that it is worthwhile to consider the cap, because I think the consequences, might not be so good. So your options would be to not consider capping anything and to go forward with the $48 as you originally, you know, planned to do. And some of these entities would see some bills that are higher, but some of them have had aberrantly low bills. They shouldn't have been really that low to begin with, I don't think, based on what I've heard about some of them. Or you could do the cap at one-third, one time, 1 year, to kind of ease into it. Or you could do the one-third over 3 years, which is really is more than a third, because it becomes cumulative. So, and I think the ordinance that's been presented for you for the council meeting for first reading is the one-third over a three-year period, which was one of those little boxes that I sent to you all last night. Again, I think I've come full circle, and it seems like to me I worry about the consequences of offering a cap at this point in time, when it will be commercial property. It will be commercial property owners that in other areas are going to be seeing even a larger increase, because the county's method has it at 72, not 48. So we'll still be lower than mm-hmm. other areas of the counties, and perhaps still lower than Mount Pleasant.
I like option one.
I second it.
Option.
Make that into a motion.
Remove the cap.
Right.
Okay, let's make it clear for Maurice's sake.
Option could just be to rescind the action that we took in November to implement the cap. I think that would be the best thing to do. Mm-hmm.
So the motion is to rescind the motion that was acted upon in November, which leaves us with a $48 base rate for residential units, and non-commercial properties will follow the calculation as presented by Charleston County.
Second.
That's all right?
Mm-hmm.
Any other discussion?
I'm
Sandy.
Still confused. Sorry. So you have two different rates, one for residential, one for non.
They're all at 48.
They're all at 48. Okay.
County has a different rate for everybody.
Even at 48, we are not reaching the 72.
Correct.
So we will have to be paying out of our.
No.
No. They're two different things. So let me, and I will attempt to clarify on you guys if I'm wrong. So What the county said to us was that they needed the rate to be at a minimum to be $48. If we were going to have them administer this program for us, that $48 would enable them to do what they need to do in order to administer the program. But the county decided we need that amount and we need to be building a fund, so we're going to go up to 72. So we'll be able to administer the program and build this fund. So that decision to go to hold at 48, that was not a reduction or a cap or anything like that. What this discussion is about now is taking that 48 to a lower number over time, and that's what would create the gap, the potential gap in what we should be generating to cover our costs for them to administer the program and what it will actually cost to administer the program.
Okay. Any other questions? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion carries. You guys can stay through council, but I don't think it's going to change when we take it another vote.
With your indulgence, may I make a comment? First of all, I would like to thank my colleagues to assist me.
Right.
And secondly, you might be able to glean from looking at me that I've been around for a while, and in the course of my career, I have attended many municipal meetings, and I must tell you how profoundly impressed I am with the Otter Ponds. I'm impressed with the opportunity to deal with your administrator, with your operating staff, with Doug, and with Donnie, and certainly with your attorney. And so I commend you, if I may be so bold as to do that, that it's a pleasure to deal with you, and we hope that we can continue. We have a wonderful stormwater program, and I think that not only is the county the beneficiary, but I think the Isle of Palms is as well. And again, thank you so much for the courtesies that you've extended to us this evening. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
So you can make our bill.
Fingers on the printout.
I just, while we're just taking a moment, I do notice that you do bill even the churches.
Yes.
Which then they don't pay.
They do.
They do pay?
Yeah.
Just a guiding.
Okay.
It's not a tax, it's a utility.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Some of the churches don't pay.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
All right. Returning back to our original programming. Let's go.
Citizens' comments.
Yeah. More citizens' comments, please. Jimmy.
Jim Rye, 3904 Cameron Boulevard. I think most of you know me. I've been in the business world in the Charleston community for 32 years. And I think it's a wise choice tonight not to go with a cap. I think that, you know, let's level the playing field and then cap it. Let's not cap it at a reduced rate. So I think it's a very wise choice, and I commend you for that, because I think that if we're going to cap something, let's level it and then cap it. And the 33% concerned me from that first meeting when the subject came up, because I knew it was going to be a big number. But I think it's a wise choice to do that. So I think we do level the playing field, then we cap it. We don't cap it at a reduced rate. So I commend you for your decision.
Thank you, Jim. Anyone else wishing to address committee? I can't turn around that quickly.
Mm-mm.
All right, don't hear anybody moving, so we'll move on to our financial report.
All right. What you have is the cover sheet only of the February 28th, 2017 monthly financial report. I apologize, but I just could not get the full month closed in addition to the budget work. So this is should be very close to where the month ends up, but I have not balanced the bank account, so I can't be 100% sure. I will get those done as soon as I can and get you a full report emailed out. But revenues in the general fund are at 66% of budget, 58% on the expenditure side. You can see that compared to the prior year on revenues, we're 1% ahead of where we were this time last year, and expenditures are 2% behind where we were this time last year. So we are right where you would expect us to be. And I think that we will be able to make both budgeted revenues and will likely slightly beat budgeted expenditures. General fund cash, you can see that we've got a healthy cash balance, $4,268,000, 2.5 at BB&T, and 1.6 at the LGIP. And I think since this time that BB&T balance has come down and the balance has shifted to the LGIP where we can get a little bit better interest. Capital projects, disaster recovery, not too much change there. The decrease in the disaster recovery cash balance, it's $100,000, relates to expenses we incurred related to Hurricane Matthew, but we still have some FEMA recoveries to come, so I expect that will catch back up. You can see that I did, as requested by the mayor, break out the beach stakeholder money from the beach preservation money. So you can see the two amounts separately. And we have a little over $5 million of other people's money that we are holding in escrow pending the offshore renourishment project. So total cash is $22 million versus $15 million last year. Five of that $7 million increase is other people's money that we are holding temporarily. All the general fund departments are at budget, with the exception of the mayor and council line, where there's a timing difference impacting that percentage. But all the other departments are below budget, below the budget target. And that's all I have on that.
Any questions?
On the
these accounts, the restricted accounts, does that indicate that they're not in interest-bearing accounts of any type?
No. Most all of these have an a related LGIP account as well as a checking account. So to the extent we can, we keep the majority of the money at the LGIP.
Good. Carol?
I know you've told me this before, but I can't remember. So under all other expenditures, which is 182%,
hold on.
Well, work with us a little more.
Okay, under expenditures, top right, 182%, all other. Actual 361, budgeted 198, difference 163,000.
So, let me think, what's in all other? The fire department 1% fund, the narcotics funds, the rec building fund, the beach maintenance
you
fund.
Just let me know. I just was curious. It just seemed a little.
These are just expenditures.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, let me let you know.
You can let me know. It just seems odd.
Yes, I see what you're saying now.
Okay.
Any other questions? All right. Carry on.
Okay. We'll go quickly through the tourism revenue pages. Municipal accommodations fee, $15,000, which is less, $5,000 less than this time last year, but more in line with prior years. For the first 7 months, we're seeing a slight decline over the same period last year. We'll just have to continue to watch it. This is, this of course right now is the very lowest point in the revenue stream for any fiscal year. So we'll see how things start to improve as springtime moves forward. The next page is state accommodations tax, and you can see it's following the muni trend, just a 0% increase for the first two quarters of the fiscal year. Next page is this is the Charleston County money I was mentioning earlier that we receive from Charleston County twice a year. Has been the historical norm. And you can see that it's a significant amount of money that we get from the county that they do not have to give us. There's no law that says they do. Next page is the hospitality tax. It's a 1% increase over this time last year. 22 taxpayers, which includes a handful of caterers. Slightly below where we were for this same month in FY16. So all the tourism funds are basically flat. Last one is beach preservation fee, same thing. Next schedule I want to talk about is the beach restoration project worksheet. Had additional expenses related to, engineering, legal. You can see some payment to Chris Jones for some professional work he did. And the second page shows you kind of where we are with funding on hand. You can see the $5 million in stakeholder money, the city's contribution that we have on hand. What's missing at this point is loan proceeds. The budget includes the city getting a $1.2 million loan, and then the estimated state contribution of $6.9 million. So those monies are still to come.
You want to do it or me?
Well, you can do it.
You'll notice one thing on that sheet. In the bottom row there, it says estimated FEMA contribution. You saw that the original budget had $753,000 contribution from FEMA in the budget. And you see that's now changed to be zero. That's a result of the work with FEMA on Joaquin, where, see if I can put it in my terms, Linda would have she doesn't bite at these people. I'd like to bite at them. They changed teams, and the new team that came in that was principally doing Matthew rejected the work that was done by the Joaquin FEMA team. Does that sound right?
Yes.
And said, by our calculations, you're not entitled to any recovery from the beach damage as a result of Joaquin. So that's why you see on this statement that the $753,000 is now moved to zero. However, this team, I'll call it the Matthew team, in calculating the damage that was done as a result of Matthew, has come up with a damage assessment of roughly 260,000 cubic yards. I'm not sure if that means a lot to you other than yards, but it translates into many more dollars, far more dollars than the $700,000 that's referred to here originally from Joaquin. So if they continue, and I say that as a big if, because it's not a merry-go-round with these guys. It's a Ferris wheel, loop-de-loop, whatever. They come in here with six packs of guys from all over the country, and they keep changing faces. But there was a meeting last week where I guess you have to sign off on one more thing or something?
I think I've made corrections to the project worksheet, and I think we executed that project worksheet. I think they corrected it and we executed it. But keep in mind, this still has multiple layers of approval. It may even have to go to a Washington level for approval, not just an Atlanta level for approval. So until we get an final approved project worksheet, we cannot count on it as funding
right.
that we have.
Just recognize that the movement of sand that we took action on with Matthew to protect the properties on each end of the island, we only, today was it, or yesterday?
Yes, today.
Today, we finally got approval of that project worksheet authorization funding, mm-hmm. whatever. We've already done the work. I mean,
yeah.
We did it in October. And you spin forward, you add six more months to it, and
we get 75% of our expense and has been approved.
And so FEMA will cover 75% of the expense, which is some $100,000 for us.
I think it was 117.
Which will be flowing in our direction.
How much?
150.
That's the total amount, wasn't it?
No, that's
okay.
The 75.
Oh, perfect. And the other 25%. Is subject to, you'll like this, South Carolina legislature. The House approved, you might have read it in the paper last week, I believe, was the House approved reimbursing, having the state cover the 25% that local municipalities in, will have to cover for any FEMA recovered projects, that the state will pick up that 25%. That has cleared the House, and it's left in the Senate, and it's part of the budgeting bill and provisos that are going forward. We're working as Campson and others trying to make sure that that stays there. And frankly, that we're a small player in that. You know, the rest of Horry County and Colleton County, et cetera, have a lot more at stake to get that 25% recovered. So there's a lot of horsepower going into getting the Senate to sign off on that also. And I think the feds give the state a bucket of money, and then the state decides how they're going to use it, and that may be one way they use it to help pay the 25%. Regardless, we're looking forward to the 25% coming forward, not only on the sand that we moved, but hopefully if we do get the project worksheet for Matthew and the storm damage, we'll get that 25% through the state also. So we're not counting on it yet.
No, that's right. That's important. I did have one other thing that you didn't say that I did want to say, and I just kind of want to make you all aware. I mean, this is a $15 million initiative. There's roughly almost $7 million in the bank. And any other funds that we receive, whether they be from FEMA or from a grant source, will be reimbursable funds. So that means in the paying of the bills on whatever contract that we have, you know, the city will have to front the money and then get ourselves reimbursed. So cash flow and timing associated with this is going to be really delicate through this process. And this will be going on at the same time that we have another situation having to do with a grant that we got on the drainage. That as well is a reimbursable grant. So, and that's a roughly $2 million total initiative. We have some money in the bank, but we will have to front 100% of it and then file for reimbursement. And, you know, of course, we'll reimburse ourselves. But we're going to have some challenges with cash flow that we may need to address if both of these projects come to fruition simultaneously. So just be aware of that.
It's just a matter of timing and, you know, how we fund it. We'll have to sit down and put a fairly extensive cash flow schedule together. And a lot of it's going to be guesswork. How fast does FEMA pay you after you had a project worksheet and you submit the documentation? You know, how long does it take before they cut a check? Now, I did have a conversation with mayor of Edisto Beach, and they're getting checks fairly promptly, so from both the state and I believe feds. So there may be a 30-day turnaround or something like that. 90-day, 120 days, that gets to be very problematic, but a 30-day turnaround I think we could probably handle. But anyhow, that's where we are. Cindy.
On the estimated FEMA contribution of $753, that was only Joaquin, that did not include
Correct.
Anything with Matthew?
Correct.
Okay, so where are the Matthew, what do we expect from Matthew?
We don't have those numbers in here yet because we don't have approved project worksheet.
Once they sign the project worksheet, it'll be more than $753,000. It'll be a few million, actually.
Mm-hmm. But we had planned on getting the $753,000 to help us make $15 million.
We didn't know for sure. And we did not, in addressing it with the stakeholders and also with the grant application and everything, we did not include any of the FEMA money because of the question about whether or not they would come through, frankly. If we'd been counting on it and we had put it in there counting on it, then we knew we would be short. Because $15 million is a conservative estimate, frankly, on this project.
Okay. Debbie, more?
I'm done.
So happy to be done. Questions, Jim?
Questions. Thank you. Under the accommodations, you know, we're down 1%. This year, so far to date. Last year we were down 4%. And you know, we look at our budget and we look at the amount of money that tourism brings in here, and, you know, and how we spend money, we really, really need to be careful to have money saved and not overspend. I mean, Matthew hit during a low tide.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the amount of loss we had was minuscule what it could have been. So I just try to reiterate that, you know, I'm looking at the reductions for the last 2 years, and it scares me.
Hopefully it'll be a good summer.
I hope it's a great summer. But anyway, I just like to look at their history right now, and it's...
Well, we're going to have an eclipse.
That's
not
right.
Quite the same as an epiphany, but it's, it'll drive people here, hopefully all summer long. All right, let's move on to new business, recommendation from Public Works Committee. This has to do with placing Moby mats at 5th Avenue. The administrator wants to brief us on where we're not.
Okay, so two things. We don't have enough money, and it looks like it might be necessary to bid that project. So we learned that the less expensive company that we have been purchasing matting from does not offer the type of matting that you can drive on and at the width that we would need for Fifth Avenue. So we went to the vendor that we knew had the drivable mats and got a quote from them, but that estimated quote put us over $25,000, which is more money than we have, and because it's more than $25,000, would hit the procurement toggle of needing to bid the project out. I thought maybe there would be opportunity for sole source, but doing some online research, I did find two other companies as to whether they would bid or not. I don't know. They're more industrial looking companies, but they do offer these mats that heavy equipment can drive on. So I don't think that we can realize this at this time. I think that there is perhaps some, you know, like we may want to try to include it in our budget for next year to do it and to bid it out, or to go ahead and bid it out and then pay for it in the budget for next year. But I don't think that we can realize this particular action at this time. Not enough money.
So why don't we leave it with the Public Works Committee to see what our options are. All right, this next item is a recommendation from Real Property Committee to award an unbudgeted contract to JMT in the amount of not to exceed $20,017 for construction oversight and monitoring of the marina bulkhead repair. This is monies that will come from the budgeted item where we were intending to paint the bulkhead.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and seconded. We understand that we need to have some construction oversight whenever we have anybody doing work like this, and they did the initial design work and appraisal. So, motion and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion carries. Recommendation for Public Safety Committee to award a contract to, I'm not going to pronounce it right.
So moved.
Marlon.
Second.
Pyrotechnics in the amount of $25,100, July 4th. Fireworks. I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? This is in line with what we've done in last year.
So this is the contract that we had the option to renew for 3 years. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get the exact same shows we got last year because they're doing some more bang for the buck, correct?
Last year.
Mm-hmm. But still we're renewing that contract.
Correct.
Thank you.
All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Carries. Next item of... See if how quickly
so
this one moves. There.
So moved.
Approval of over budget expense, $790 State Accommodations Act for new pickup truck and fire department.
Second.
Motion seconded.
Yep.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, carries. Now, this is just a report in line with our procurement ordinances, which you can see the details thereof on items less than $25,000 that are in the budget. We award of a sole contract to A&H, the amount of $15,216. To fabricate and install beach parking signs. And then item B, award of a contract to Blitch Plumbing in the amount of $19,928.17 for plumbing work at the restrooms. So that's now been reported and will be made part of the minutes for the council meeting. I have no other items to be brought forward for you guys. We have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All right, we're adjourned. All in favor, we're adjourned anyhow. We're going to morph into council meeting. Do we have
food?
Do we have food? Do we want to do
the food arrived?
Do we want to do, I'll let you decide. Do we want to do food now?
Yes.
I guess I don't have a say. Again.
Everybody's hungry, I think.